WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A breakthrough in Israel's two-year-old war on Hamas after the deadly October 7th attacks in Israel. President Trump says both sides have agreed to the first phase of his peace plan to pause fighting and release at least some hostages and prisoners. President Trump tells Fox News,
"We think they'll all be coming back on Monday. So it looks like that's the thing. And that'll include the bodies of the dead."
In Tel Aviv's Hostages Square, a crowd gathers on word of the latest developments. The BBC's Lise Doucet in Tel Aviv stresses,
"We have to keep underlining this is not some big peace plan which is resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This is an important agreement on the first phase of the deal, which will bring all of the living hostages home, as many of the remains of the dead that can be found, in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. Hundreds of trucks are meant to start rumbling across the Gaza border, and a ceasefire will take hold."
President Trump posts on social media that Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker should be in jail because they are opposing the deployment of National Guard troops to Chicago. The governor says of the president's comment,
"Well, he's a coward. He says a lot of things to the camera. He likes to pretend to be a tough guy. Come and get me. Come and get me."
Court arguments are scheduled for tomorrow on a lawsuit filed by Chicago and the state of Illinois against the Trump administration. Authorities say a 29-year-old former Uber driver has been arrested in Melbourne, Florida, and charged with intentionally starting the devastating Palisades fire, which killed 12 people and destroyed some 6,800 homes and businesses in Southern California. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
9 months after one of the worst and deadliest wildfires in L.A. history,
today marks a significant moment and a long road to justice for our community.
Federal authorities arrested 29-year-old Jonathan Rinderneck. He's charged with setting a small fire shortly after midnight on New Year's Day along a hiking trail in Pacific Palisades. That small fire smoldered beneath the ground, then exploded into the Palisades fire a week later.
On the run since May, the last of 10 inmates who escaped from a jail in New Orleans is again behind bars. Derek Groves, a convicted murderer, was found in the crawl space of a home in Atlanta. New Orleans District Attorney Jason Williams,
"I was deeply concerned that someone that had been convicted of a double homicide and was supposed to be in Angola would not go easily."
Financial institutions are raising concerns about a potential AI investment bubble. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, hear all news all morning, weekdays from 6 until 9, from 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
A bumpy road in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, game 3 of the NLDS. The Brewers losing tonight in Chicago, 4-3 to the Cubs. Starting pitcher Quinn Priester giving up 3 runs, including a home run to the Cubs' Michael Busch just in the first inning. Priester pulled after throwing 39 pitches, followed by Nick Mears with another 13, including a wild pitch. Jose Quintana later brought in his first appearance in a game since September 15th. So the Cubs stay alive. Game 4 tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Exact start time to be determined. NFL, the Packers practicing in pads in Green Bay today, getting ready to host the Bengals Sunday afternoon at 3:25. The Bengals trading for Joe Flacco from the Browns to take over in Cincinnati. Head coach Zach Taylor says he intends to start Flacco at quarterback. The Bengals trying to snap a 3-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's all real news all morning, weekdays 6 to 9, with great conversation all day on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-40s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, nice day with highs in the low 60s. A slight shower chance for Friday with a mix of sun and clouds, highs into the upper 60s. More 60s this weekend. It's 46 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it normal for a government official to take $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag? Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids' meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up for the last half an hour of the show, segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from the news, and take a breath. Today we're doing an audio sorbet slash audio gripe.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, boy.
Yes!
Audio gripe is coming back after the 10:30 news. This has to do with photographs and what you photograph and if you share these photographs with others.
That just sounded like a precursor that's going to get dirty.
Well, you'll just have to wait and see. And then we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the We Left a Note edition.
There it is.
So stay tuned for that. Right now he joins us every month for an update for which we're very grateful. He is Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Good morning, Darren. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane and Greg. Thank you for having me again.
Well, another story, this time from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Anna Kleber with the byline, record crop yields won't lead to financial security this year for Wisconsin farmers. Here's why, and it's about the Trump tariffs, because that's what they are. They're the Trump tariffs. I'm curious, Darren, you're a dairy farmer, but you talk to many farmers across Wisconsin, even though I know I don't believe you grow soybeans. But what are you hearing from some of your fellow farmers?
A lot of despair, a lot of frustration, a lot of the uncertainty that we're at, but mainly the frustration of why we're at the point that we're at. We've certainly seen some of the issues with First President tariffs back in 2018 and lost the market share there, and to come back and do the exact same thing expecting different results is not the best way to do things. It's never worked and never will work. So as of today, China has not bought any new crop soybeans, probably do not intend to, and so that just means bad thing. In Wisconsin here, we're somewhat insulated on the fact that a lot of soybeans do go into animal feed. So whether it's the dairy herds or the pork and poultry industry, we do use quite a bit there, which is going to make the dairymen happy and the poultry and pork producers a little more comfortable, because they're not going to have to pay those outrageous prices for feed if feed prices are high. So it's really not benefiting anybody, though, because the dairy producers and pork and beef or poultry folks want to see their neighbors be prosperous, too. So Trying to benefit off of somebody else's loss is not something that farmers are comfortable with.
You know, you talk about the first, tariff war, trade war, and that resulted in a, I think at when all was said and done, it was a $16 billion bailout to the farmers to help them with what they had lost because of this very thing happening now. And now Donald Trump is talking about another bailout, this time specifically for the soybean farmers. And we spoke with Pam Yonke yesterday, and she said that that money would actually just pay down the debts incurred as part of the farming process.
Well, a lot of farmers already borrowed money for either seed or crops or other stuff like that.
And I'm sure some of them will accept the money because they need to take it and they need to pay down that debt. But really, I mean, tell us, they don't want bailouts. They want markets. They want to be able to sell and make money and do a business and keep their farms going. I mean, this, I can't imagine there's a lot of farmers running around Wisconsin saying, I'm going to get a check.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the family farm industry that I am involved in and really care a lot about, we want to get our money from the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Now, with the style of agriculture that we're going to, when you have the investment firms and the lawyers and the doctors that are invested in them, they really don't care where the money comes from as long as they get the money. And so having this type of a portfolio going forward, if you're huge and don't really care about what's going on with the food that we need to produce and need to eat in this country, you're going to continue to take that check. And, you know, how do we change that aspect of agriculture and get away from writing these $1 million checks to individuals or investment firms, or in some cases, even other countries, because they have have worked through those loopholes in this country to make sure that they can prosper off of us. And we don't even know about it most of the time.
If you're just joining us, Darren Von Rudin is our guest on Matt Nair on Air. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, obviously talking about the tariffs. We want to play a clip for you, Darren, from Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, who talked about, now, again, everyone is paying higher prices because of the tariffs. So essentially, when Donald Trump cuts a check to our farmers, he is paying the farmers back money they have already paid in the extra money they're paying on items that have tariffs. But Brooke Rollins, Trump's agriculture secretary, says this is a great thing. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
Can you tell us a little bit more about President Trump's plan to use tariff money to pay farmers? What does that look like? How much are we talking about? How long will that program last?
You know, it is a very elegant solution, right? The amount of tariff money that is coming into our country is stunning. The president had a vision. He's effectuating the vision. The vision is pretty remarkable. The whole entire world economy is now realigning around American products.
Away from.
Which is incredible. But again, to this moment of uncertainty, the ability to offset any payments to the farmers through potential tariff revenue is really where the president wants us to head, and that's what we're looking at very soon. One more.
It's an elegant solution for a problem that this administration created.
Yeah, and they created it back in 2018, and we're going to have the same exact result this time. That means farmers are going to be pushed out of business because we can't afford to stay in business. And, you know, and if there was a market out there that could replace losing the Chinese market that we're losing, we wouldn't have some of the issues that we're having. But there's no market out there that's that big that can consume that much of our soybean crop. We're working on some things right now in this country, trying to develop new markets for soybeans, but those markets are 5-7 years down the road. So in the meantime, you know, 40-50% of our farmers are probably going to have to call it quits, and move on to something else because they simply can't stay in business because they don't have a cash flow.
But doesn't this go back to Trump's first agriculture secretary, Sonny Perdue, who said at the time, it's go big or go home. And if you can't, if you can't go big, then yeah, you're going to lose your farm and you're going to get bought up by somebody else.
Yeah. Which is scary though, because at some point the only people or the only businesses that will be able to afford the farmland and the farms that are getting bigger is either large multinational corporations or foreign entities. And, you know, we can't afford to let our food system get into the control of somebody that's not the true American company or true American farmers.
Do you, I'm not asking, I don't want you to speak on behalf of all the farmers. That would be very tough for you to do that. But obviously we've talked about this in the past. Some farmers voted for Trump. Some farmers did not. What are you seeing on essentially the back end of this now, where like we are post-election, we are almost a year into this first year of his second term. And you mentioned it when we first got on the air that there is a general sense of not excited and up, and there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty. But the conversations you're hearing, what are you just hearing from people as far as just the farmers, like the things they're looking for? Because, I mean, I'm not a farmer. Jane's not a farmer. I mean, I imagine you just need leadership and you need partnership. But is there also any like resentment towards the way that you guys are being treated, saying like, all right, we're going to slash your marketplace, but we're going to give you some money and then we'll see if you can do anything. But that's, you know, I'm very curious on what the conversations are being had at the kitchen table.
Yeah. So, you know, in private conversations, there's a lot of anxiety, but also, you know, what in the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm hearing more and more from farmers that I know voted for Trump are saying, you know, this is just absolute stupidity. It's nuts that we're in this situation. We should be doing something different. But if you want them to come and say it in public, they're probably not going to say
that. Of course,
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, the issue there is how do we as leaders in agriculture, you know, and I'm in that spot, how do we make them realize that it does not pay to continue to vote for a party that doesn't care about farmers? You know, the most frustrating part in my position too is my counterpart in the state's largest farm organization has been really quiet on this. And, you know, we're not hearing anything out of that organization. And yet for 4 years, Biden couldn't do anything right. And so, you know, and we're in a lot worse shape today than we were 6 months ago. Even, you know, and a year ago, we were in a lot better shape because we had really good prices for most commodities. And beef prices were going up, and they're holding up. They're going to be there for a while. But when you look at corn and soybeans, those farmers are in a world of hurt, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Darren, I almost wonder, it feels, again, and I'm going back to the first time around with Donald Trump and Sonny Perdue saying, well, go big or go home. It almost feels like there is a push for some of our farmers to fail so they get bought up by big companies. Let's not forget J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, helped back a company called Acre Trader, which opens up farmland and foreclosed farmland to investors.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation that we're in, because not only are the farmers that have been farming for decades maybe really in trouble, but how do you get that next generation started? And when you have companies like that are just doubling and tripling the cost of land throughout the country, you know, you can't get that next generation started. And if you're lucky enough to have a uncle or an aunt or father or your mother, you know, that owns some land and they're willing to give you somewhat of a break, you can certainly get into it. But, you know, trying to start that next generation is really, really difficult right now. And here in our area, the land prices in the last 5 years have just about tripled. So trying to get that next generation and younger folks, unless you've been given a silver spoon like our president has, you simply can't get into the business.
Well, and Scott Bessent is another one in the Trump administration who I understand owns many, many, many acres of soybeans, I believe in North Dakota. And again, if we start losing some of these smaller farms, they're going to sell and they're going to get bought up by much bigger guys.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is diversity. And, you know, we're going away from diversity, going into the concentration mode at a faster pace today than we have in the last five decades. And if we don't get back to that diversity, our food system is going to be in a world of hurt.
We're going to continue our conversation with the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is here. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back. Jane,
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Lemons in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
It's All Real News All Morning, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., with great conversation all day on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Sorry, I was about to say something and I realized you were still talking. I apologize.
That's okay.
I'll take it from here. We are joined by Darren Von Rooten, who is the president. I've talked before in public, folks. I'm sorry. What happened right there?
He's new.
Wisconsin Farmers Union. He is the president. He joins us once a month to talk about all things farming. And I know that I actually mentioned to you during the break that we would talk to him about his trip to Washington, you take a trip to Washington. But also something I remember that Darren did want to speak about was the fact that the government is shut down and how that is affecting the farmers right now. I mean, I imagine that payments and partnerships are being held to account and just sparkling right now while the government's doing nothing.
Yeah, you know, and certainly it's year end, so farmers are getting their year end reports done. Can't get those into the Farm Service Agency offices because they're not open. Employees have been locked out of their computers, so they can't even try to do anything for farmers if they could. You know, it's a real frustration. Ultimately, yes, that payment schedule will happen. There's conservation payments that come out every once in a while, so that could be impacted by it. And just really looking at what's going on. You know, talking with a neighbor here the other day, he said, you know, why are our House of Representatives and our senators and the president even getting paid during this time? Because they don't want to pay other federal employees. So they shouldn't be getting a paycheck right now, too. And it's, you know, real frustration out there on the hypocrisy that's really on both sides. But certainly when you look at who's in control right now, it's Republicans in all three facets of the government And they really need to come to the bargaining table and offer something that the other side will agree with, versus what they're doing right now is saying that, no, you have to agree with us on what we want. And, you know, they need the Democrats' help to get the government back open. And right now they're not doing anything to try to make that happen.
And Darren, I have to wonder, I mean, where do farmers get their health insurance?
Well, you know, there's a vast majority of us that are in the ACA. So, you know, looking at that process, you're going to take the government check for the subsidy on your crops, but you don't believe that that you should get the subsidy for the insurance premium, and your neighbors in urban America and the cities across the country shouldn't get that subsidy either. So it's all right if you get it for the farm, but you shouldn't get it for anything else. And, you know, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander is what I always say. And let's, you know, keep the playing field level versus trying to offset.
Well, these carve outs, right? These special group carve outs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and the president's done in agriculture too. He certainly has made sure that the commodity farmers, especially corn and soybean farmers, get a payment as part of the big, beautiful bill, but yet took everything away from all of the small producers across the country, and those that are in most need of, you know, a little bit of help right now, have absolutely no way to get those dollars from the federal government because there's no programs available for it anymore.
And Jane, I'm glad you asked the question and Darren giving the answer, because that's something I think really needs to be repeated, is that, you know, when we think of the ACA, when we think of benefits, whether it's SNAP, Medicare, Medicaid, we tend to put the people who want to do away with it or, quote, save it, they want to put it on the heads of people who live in cities, the ne'er-do-wells, the lazy, the shiftless, all those guys watching television, doing nothing in their mother's basement. But farmers take part in the ACA. Farmers take part in Medicare and Medicaid. Farmers avail themselves to these SNAP benefits. They avail themselves to these benefits. This group that you belong to, who are so lauded by our politicians, are consistently being used as, you know,
pawns.
And then all of your benefits, with ours too, are being taken away. But they get to control the narrative and say, oh, it's these terrible people who are frauding and lazy and misusing. But really, it's a guy maybe up in northern Wisconsin who needs the ACA to get health insurance. And he's like, I can't pay 75% increases on my premium. Well, sorry.
Yeah. So my son and daughter-in-law are in the ACA program because Brett's farming. Nicole is doing a part-time taking care of grandkids and a couple other kids here. And so health insurance is the only way they can get it through the ACA. And they're looking at their premiums under the current proposals to go up $300 a month. Jeez. Well, they don't have that kind of money laying around to go up. And, you know, certainly the WIC program has helped in the past. You know, in rural America, and especially farmers, if you're going to just farm, trying to find insurance is absolutely impossible. And the ACA program has definitely helped a lot of farmers across the country. And now we're looking at, getting a payment on one side, but getting in the shorts on the other end.
We're going to keep talking with Darren Von Ruden. He joins us once a month. We always have one day, Darren, we'll just sit and talk about recipes. You know, we'll talk about great things to do with cheese.
Yeah.
This is not that time, unfortunately. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us once a month. Thank you so very much, Darren. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Jane and Greg.
Appreciate it. News coming up next. And then when we return, it's an audio gripe. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody tag along. Take me down to Junior Squad.
Take me down to Junior Squad. Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
CBS News special report in Tel Aviv tonight. Celebration in Hostage Square over the ceasefire in Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to part of President Trump's peace plan with return of the hostages, he told Fox News.
The big thing is hostages are going to be released. It's probably our time would be probably Monday.
Correspondent Jared Hill has official reaction from Israel.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a statement thanking Trump and saying in part, quote, a big day for Israel. Tomorrow I will convene the government to approve the agreement and bring all our dear hostages home.
With the view from Hamas, BBC's Hugo Bashega in Jerusalem.
Hamas knows that with the release of the hostages, it is going to lose the leverage it has in negotiations. And it is very suspicious that Israel might decide to resume the fighting once the hostages are freed.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Toscano.
A bumpy road in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, game three of the NLDS. The Brewers losing tonight in Chicago, 4-3 to the Cubs. Starting pitcher Quinn Priester giving up three runs, including a home run to the Cubs' Michael Busch just in the first inning. Priester pulled after throwing 39 pitches, followed by Nick Mears with another 13, including a wild pitch. Jose Quintana later brought in his first appearance in a game since September 15th. So the Cubs stay alive. Game four tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Exact start time to be determined. NFL, the Packers practicing in pads in Green Bay today, getting ready to host the Bengals Sunday afternoon at 3:25. The Bengals trading for Joe Flacco from the Browns to take over in Cincinnati. Head coach Zach Taylor says he intends to start Flacco at quarterback. The Bengals trying to snap a three-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In 2007, co-hosts of The View, Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, came to blows on the set. Can't believe I missed that. The skirmish was over an argument about the Iraq War. O'Donnell recently appeared on the Ricky Lee, Tim, and Joel podcast and said she feels like the producer set the whole thing up. O'Donnell came to this conclusion when she realized there was a split screen being used for the whole episode. O'Donnell left the show shortly after. Hasselbeck stayed on until 2013. I Play Rocky is a new film about the making of the film Rocky. The Peter Farrelly-directed movie is currently in production and has announced that Matt Dillon will play Frank Stallone Sr., Sylvester Stallone's father in real life. The film will tell the story of Sylvester Stallone's struggles as an actor until he wrote Rocky and stuck to his guns while fighting for the chance to play the title character in his own script. Rocky went on to win the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1977. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-40s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, nice day with highs in the low 60s. A slight shower chance for Friday with a mix of sun and clouds, highs into the upper 60s. More 60s this weekend. It's 42 right now.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello, live stream.
Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball later on this afternoon. Brewers at Wrigley Field to sweep the Cubs.
Hey,
could sweep the Cubs.
A sweep is possible.
It's possible. Our broadcast will start today at 3:30. First pitch going out about 4:08. You can listen to the game, not on the stream, but on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN Crew at Wrigley against the Cubs. Our broadcast starts today at 3:30. Go Crew. This is the portion of the show where we like to take a breath, get away from the news. We call it audio sorbet.
But
today, it's a special version called Audio Gripe.
Well, let me tell you something, boy.
Get off my lawn. Audio Gripe. Here it is. Why do people share photos of their injuries and or scars?
What happened to you?
I have a close relative that I love dearly.
Wonderful.
Who had foot surgery.
Ew.
I know. And talking the other day, just texting back and forth, how you doing, how you feeling, you up and around. I mean, it's a pain in the neck having any surgery.
Family but, who have to talk to?
Well, no, I love my family. But, it's like, do you want, so if she had the surgery, and she said, do you want to see a picture of my foot? And I said, as delightful as that sounds, no, thank you.
But here's the question I have for you. Did this person then share a picture of their foot?
No.
See, that right there, I feel is amazing. Because there's a lot of individuals out there, we've all been there, where they say, you want to see a picture of something? And it's not so much a question as it is a setup to say you're going to see a picture of something.
Whether you want to or not.
Whether you'd like it or not. And then you have to be, and then and no, your full Midwestern takes over and you look and inside your head, you're like, I don't want to see this picture. But you don't have the temerity to say, I didn't get a chance to answer or no, thank you. So you are left. I want to say shout out to your friend or relative, your relative who listened and did not share,
did not inflict the photo on me, but I don't get that. I don't get, here's my scar. Let me show you. Here's, I broke my leg. Let me take a picture and show you the four places I broke. No, no. Why?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Are you a sender of said pictures? Or are you like me and the unwilling recipient of said pictures? 855-752-4842. What is it? What? No, I don't want to. No, thank you.
Okay.
Really?
Well,
I'm good.
Okay. I feel like does this happen a lot?
Well, the other
you came in hot with this one today. You're like, I'm like, okay. And you just declared and then you had the nerve to say it was audio sorbet. I'm like, this is audio gripe.
And that's where we put it.
Yes.
We put it into audio gripe because I am complaining. But I mean, I haven't been on Facebook since 2019.
Oh, that must be amazing.
It is. It's fabulous. But when I was still on Facebook, people would share photos of like, here's a picture of my mother in the hospital where she's recovering from pneumonia. Yeah. Why would you share that?
I feel like I'm trying to find reasons to defend the actions because I'm not the type of person that does that either. I wouldn't share a picture of myself. First of all, I'm not sharing a picture of anyone else unless it's we went to the park or my wife and I bought a house.
Here's
our new house. Like something that's celebratory or marking a milestone, I get that. But Not if I was in the hospital, and most definitely not someone else where you're like, click, here's my friend. They're in the hospital. No, that feels like an invasion of privacy.
Absolutely. That's what I thought, too. Here's my mother recovering from pneumonia in the hospital. Wave, Grandma. But no.
PJ on the live stream says, because scars are like a badge of honor, a.k.a. battle scars from life. I get that, and that's pretty dramatic, but... there does something to say like, hey, you want to see my scar? And then if you want to say yes, then go ahead and say, I have a friend who I ask all the time, do you want to see a picture of this? And it's never anything offensive or like, but he's always like, always send it. Always do it. I'm like,
he wants to see it all.
Nah, I'm going to ask you anyways, because you never know. mainly because I don't know if you're at work or not. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Like there is some, like you lift up your shirt and you're like, oh man, this is from when I was a kid and we got the shots. We used to get a dent in our skin because we were tougher back then. I get that. But.
I mean, again, this is where I fought off the bear. That's one kind of scar as opposed to I broke my leg. Here's a picture of my broken leg.
Yeah.
Do you send or are you like me and you don't want to receive photos of injuries and scars?
Or other maladies.
Ooh, malady, good word.
Thank you.
855-752-484. Maybe I'm the only person in the world.
You're not the only person
that gets these requests.
By the way, don't text them into the text line to us to make a point either, please and thank you.
What, pictures of your scars? Yes. Yeah, I mean, no, that's okay. We're good.
Yeah.
Do you do this? I mean, and I would love to know why you want to share your scar photos. Or are you like me and you don't send me the photo? I don't need to. No, thanks.
Okay.
I don't even like to look at my own body. Why would I like to look at yours?
Okay. Well, geez. All right. That's where, like, for me, my sister and I are very different. Because, like, she will watch those Dr. Pimple Popper videos. So I have no doubt in my mind if I said, hey, look, my thumb fell off. She'd be like, I need to see a picture of that right now. Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, that's a whole other topic. You know, why would you watch videos of that? But, yeah, I don't.
And that's a big thing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's millions of subscribers, millions of views. And I understand the visceral base sense of it all, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Then
the end is kind of
the
it's
end
kind
is
of,
in the it's, name it's built of in. The yeah, title.
It's kind of built in there.
The doctor, Jonathan Pimple Popper, I feel like was born to do this. Wait a minute, I'm hearing breaking news that is not their last name for real.
Oh, for real,
it's a different last name. This opens up everything. I don't know. I feel like I'm on your side. I do not have the flurry of photographic evidence of various scars, injuries, or whatnot sent to me, but I feel bad for you. Apparently, just flooding in.
Well, maybe I'm just squeamish.
I don't know if it's, well, I mean, well, okay. So if I sent you a picture of, let's say, a bad cut of my finger, is it going to be like, ugh, gross, I can't look at that? Or is it like, why'd you send this to me?
It would be, why did you send this to me?
I don't think you're squeamish. I just think you have a thing of like, I don't want to see these things. They're not.
Why?
Okay.
855-752-4842. It is our slice of audio gripe today.
Yeah.
I have a very close relative I love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
Just had some foot surgery. We were texting the other day and she said, you want to see a picture of my foot? I said, gee, thanks. That was so, no.
You know what sucks? Is what? That person, that relative was like, oh man, I wanted to show her my foot. Like, you bummed them out. That was the thing, is you were the cool water on their hot party.
Did I destroy the vibe?
You
I
did.
Destroyed
the, You're the, a vibe.
I'm a vibe
Jay
killer.
Jay Mantineer, vibe killing since the 80s.
It's kind of my job.
Yeah.
Carol from Waukesha texting in on WAUK. I completely agree with you, Jane. I don't understand why people need to send such gross things. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
Am I the only one? 855-752-4842.
Jack from Merrimack listening on WAUK says, I recall when President Johnson showed pictures of his scar from some operation he had. I remember thinking, I didn't really need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. LBJ, like, that is a man who, I would say, class oversharer. The tapes that are on him, they're not like Watergate where it's like crime. It's him saying things you're like, why would you say anything like this out loud to another? Just look up Google President LB or look up LBJ pants alteration audio. Just listen to that. I can't talk about it on the air.
Really?
Because it's weird and it's not FCC non-compliant, but it's definitely
borderline.
It's FCC. Dude, what are you doing? Just look up LBJ pants alteration audio, and it's a whole new world. I just ruined your day.
Audio gripe today in place of audio sorbet. People who like to send photos of their surgeries, their scars. Are you a sender or are you an unwilling recipient? 855-752-4842.
And do you do what Jane did? You say no thank you and leave it at that. You don't just be like, oh, you know, I guess. No, you say no thank you. I would not like to see this.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Carol listening on WAUK in Waukesha, these must be the same people that watch things like Dr. Pimple Popper. Yuck. Yeah, exactly. Anytime those videos come up in any of my feeds, I block them. I hide them, then I block the accounts. Cause I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want this.
I'm good.
They're the same people who post injury photos when people like whiff it at skateboarding or something. And I can watch someone fall off a skateboard, but it's when they fall off a building while skateboarding. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to see that either. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to join our audio gripe today. Barb from Heartland is on the line. Good morning, Barb. Thanks so much for joining us. We are talking about people who like to share photos of their injuries and their scars.
I love it.
You do?
Wow.
Yes. I love it.
Can we get your email address? Everyone, Barb's email.
Send them all to Barb. What is it, Barb, that you like about this?
Fascinating. It's just like watching that show with the fat people. Like, how does this happen?
Sorry, Barb. Which one are you talking about? There are a lot of those shows on TLC.
I know. And it's like, what is so, like, I don't know. It's just like this weird fascination. How bizarre can things get? And, I enjoy looking at it.
All right.
I really appreciate you. I really appreciate that, Barb. Thank you for that. And thank you for joining us and telling us that. Because there are, obviously, you're not alone.
No, absolutely not. No.
I mean, we have almost entire TV programs dedicated to things like that.
We are fascinated by the unknown or the weird or the strange or things like that. Or the slightly, I think the palatable grotesque.
A borderline grotesque.
Yeah. And now, granted, I also grew up in the 80s where there was literally a line of movies called Faces of Death, where it was just people for like an hour or so dying. So that's kind of, I feel like if you think about it, we've cooled it down a bit since then.
I guess I should be relieved.
Yeah.
It's just foot surgeries now.
Oh, man.
Well, that has been very enlightening.
Yeah. Oh, Calvin said that LBJ, he also allegedly make staffers give him reports while he was using that. Yeah, LBJ was a weird dude. Real weird.
That'll be a whole different audio survey. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Hey, we left a note edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking
kicking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel will be here, host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. It is a great show. Among many other things that we're going to talk about with Jim Santel is Attorney General Pam Bondi yesterday in congressional hearings.
The most professional human on earth.
It was really something.
She really brought her "let me see your manager" vibe.
And apparently she had all her comebacks written down, so she didn't
hack.
So she didn't actually have to answer any questions. She just came back with insults. We're going to talk to Jim Santel about that and many other things, including this Tom Homan thing, who was given $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag. And now Pam Bondi, the attorney general, we don't want to talk about where that money is. Did he? And Homan says he did nothing wrong.
Oh, he also has opinions on his serving in the federal government.
I'm sure he does. Did he pay taxes on it? Was it just free and clear? Did he declare it? Anyway, Jim Santel will be here in hour number one. In hour number two, retired Major General and Randy Manner is going to be joining us to talk about Pete Hegseth's address last week to our generals.
I have a lot of questions. Oh,
lots of questions there. And then for the last half an hour of the show, we will again lighten it up and talk sports with Civic Media sports guy Jimmy Cuska.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
He is a busy, busy, busy guy.
He's not just talking about, we're going to be talking about the major sports, but he is one of our high school college guys. He's high school, too. He is
high school, absolutely.
Huge into high school sports.
So all of that and more coming up for you tomorrow on Matt Nair on Air. Right now, Calvin, just about 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever stumble upon a thing that you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from NBC News, Jonathan Lloyd with the byline. The headline reads... Stolen California gas station dinosaur returned with apology note.
Aww.
See, we left a note. Claire, the Sinclair gas station dinosaur.
Oh, it's the Sinclair company? Never mind.
Was stolen last week in a crime caught on security camera video. The 50-pound fiberglass dinosaur named Claire, stolen last week from an LA gas station, has now been returned with an apologetic note. The 4-foot-tall mascot stolen last week. Video showed the person, because there's security cameras all over the place, using power tools to remove Claire, then loading her into the back of a pickup truck and driving away. A clerk at the station told NBC News she arrived early Monday to see that Claire was back. An attached note read, "I'm sorry for stealing. Please don't charge me." Well, yeah, now we've got your truck and probably your license plate and all that stuff.
And Sinclair, they'll definitely press charges.
The dinosaur wrapped in fabric was likely returned sometime after midnight when the business was closed. Security camera footage shows what appears to be the same white pickup truck pulling up to the station before unloading the wrapped up dinosaur. Did they think it wouldn't be recognized if they put it in a sheet?
What do you think it is?
Is that dinosaur shaped?
What is that? What is that dinosaur shaped sheet in there?
No arrests so far have been reported. The dinosaur's disappearance, Claire, of course, the dinosaur, captured the attention of some famous residents, including actress Jamie Lee Curtis.
Award-winning, Academy Award-winning.
Who posted video of the crime. Maybe that's what finally did it. Shamed the guy into bringing her back.
That's amazing that it took famous people.
It took famous people to shame the guy into bringing Claire the dinosaur back. While she was missing, some of Claire's fans brought flowers and other items. Apparently they came and picked them up now that she's back.
I spent $15 on this bouquet.
They brought flowers. Are we sure this didn't happen in Portland? They would, right?
Send in the troops. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've stolen our dinosaur.
Dinosaurs became a big part of Sinclair's advertising in the 1930s. Promotions over the years have featured different dinosaurs, but eventually this one, the Apatosaurus, became their most recognized dinosaur mascot.
We're mining the oil from the dinosaurs, so we might as well make him a mascot.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you know how we're like ruining, especially in the 30s, remember, you know how we're ruining the environment and pouring our waste into our waters? Let's soften our image with a cute dinosaur.
That'll help.
And 90 years later, it still holds.
Apparently, it's still working. All right, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the tiniest little bit and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Gaza's Khan Yunis. A joyous reaction as Israel and Hamas strike a deal for Hamas to release all remaining hostages and for Israel to withdraw its forces to a, quote, agreed-upon line. There is still a long road ahead, as BBC's Hugo Bashega reports from Jerusalem.
There is huge momentum here, but this is no guarantee that this is going to lead to the end of the war. We've seen that huge obstacles remain in these negotiations, including the key Israeli demand for Hamas to disarm. Also, it is unclear what is going to happen to Gaza once the war is over, who is going to govern Gaza.
President Trump announced the deal was coming during an unrelated event at the White House, as correspondent Jared Hill tells us.
Earlier Wednesday, Trump indicated a deal was fast approaching.
I was just given a note.